All right, the book of Luke chapter 21. Okay, let's see from verse 29. And he told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Even so too, when you see these things happening, now these things are the things he has described in the preceding verses. He talked about Jerusalem being surrounded by armies in verse 20. Then 25, he talked about the signs in sun and moon and stars and the whole earth in dismay. You know, that is the nations of the earth, all right, having dismay, perplexity, and all the things that will be happening. He now said to them, let's get back to where we're reading verse 31. He says, so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard. Please, this is where my emphasis again commences. Verse 34. Be on your guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And for that reason, that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Everybody will experience it. But it was seen that you can prepare for it, verse 36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, please, you know, we've been talking about the role that prayer plays in keeping us in the walk of righteousness. So we summarized it and said, prayer and personal purification. And that title was chosen so as to make it easy for Israel and Felix to prepare our materials, all right? But the summary of everything we're discussing is that prayer is important in keeping us in a righteous walk. It's very crucial. Please, I want to emphasize the word grace. It's something I've talked about all the time. Grace is the power of God to help you walk righteously. That's another definition. Add that one to your list of definitions for grace. That is, what I'm trying to say is this, the way God is, the way he is, the way he wants everything to be is this, is the beginning and the end. This is what God does. He gives you lectures. He teaches you how to answer his questions. Then he sets the questions, expecting you to just do what he has told you. Then he helps you to remember the things he told you. And once you obey him every step on the way, you always succeed. That's what grace is. Are you getting my point? God does not spring surprises. He doesn't. Anything he wants you to do, he tells you about it ahead of time. When I was teaching in Benin, all right, of course, many of you know I was not around on Saturday. And that's because there was a program that began on Friday on the campus of University of Benin. And I taught Saturday morning, Saturday evening, and Sunday morning. I said something which is very important. The one brother that was there, he said that that's one thing he heard today that really struck him. And I said that the kings of Israel, now please follow what I want to say very closely. The kings of Israel, they didn't disobey two commandments to fail. They disobeyed only one. I noticed it. That is, all the problems for the kings of Israel was because they disobeyed one simple commandment. And what was that commandment? God told them that anytime you have a king, he will make a copy of the scrolls, you understand? That the copy of the law, he will write it by himself. And then when he finishes writing, he will start reading. And when he finishes reading, he will start reading. And he would do like that all the days of his life, reading one simple book. Hey, I didn't know whether he got that. And he said if he does that, he will be careful to obey all the commands. And that way he will be established, his kingdom will endure. And that was a simple commandment. But they never did it. Even Solomon did not. There's no record he did. Because he told them, you have to write the book yourself. I don't believe there was anywhere Solomon sat down and copied the law. God gave them one simple commandment. Keep that one and all other things shall be added unto you. I told you we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. Because I'm still meditating about it. It must be a very simple thing. That's how God is. He gives on something so simple, it becomes silly. I don't know what I heard I said. It's so simple, it almost becomes silly. For that reason, you don't do it. Can you imagine? They say, just take a book. I'm reading the book all the days of your life if you want to do well in business. It's not a big book. It's a small one. You know what happens almost all the time? That book, I've read it before. That's just what we say. I have read that book before. Meanwhile, we don't realize, you know, some very, you know, I said, I'll go over that again in a moment. But I said at the beginning that this idea of just giving God thanks for food, don't get used to it in such a manner that God knows I'm grateful. I don't know whether you heard what I said. Yeah, God knows I'm grateful. I don't even have to say it, you know. Once he sees my heart, he just knows. It's deception. What did I call it?
Deception.
If you are saying like that, because there are some ordinances. I told us before that when we're talking about different parts of the word of God, all right? I added the last one. I said ordinances. There are things that God said you must do. They are physical. They are real physical things, all right? For example, he expects to participate in the communion. That's one. He said number two, you must always gather where Christians are gathered. Don't stay at home all the time by yourself. There must be a place you go. John G. Lake said, even when he wasn't hearing what they were saying those days, he would go for a meeting in Africa, in South Africa, and they are worshiping a different language which he doesn't speak. He would just sit down there. And by the time he's going, he has been strengthened. What I'm trying to say, sometimes God gives us something that's so simple. I'm just dropping those ones. Very simple things, all right? That they become silly. We get used to it, so we don't even take it serious anymore. But don't let that happen to you. Because those little things it gives us to do are usually the places where the strength to do the big things come from. Now, don't forget what I said. Those little things are usually the doors through which he passes into our lives the strength to do the great ones. Please follow me. So, I was saying, you find out that that's how grace is. God supplies the strength. So, when I was teaching that, I just explained to the people that if every king in Israel had taken time out to do what God said, they would have found it easy. God said to Joshua, if you want to succeed, it's not hard. Go and train for war. Was that what he said? If you are sure, answer me. Now, don't shake your head. I mean, he didn't tell him that. What did they tell him? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt speak to yourself therein day and night. It's amazing. That's the key. We'll talk about when we're talking about walking in the Spirit. That's the key. That key is, like Bishop Oyedepo would say, the master key to everything. That's my own opinion. That is the master key. Somebody takes the word of God and makes it a habit to talk about it all the time. You know, sometimes I ask myself, this amount of time you are spending discussing events and discussing people, politicians, what's going on with Barack Obama, you know, all those kind of things. If you spend that amount of time discussing the word of God, your business will double, your marriage will be happier, your children will be finer. Are you getting my point? Things will move quicker for you. You have less confusion in life. What am I going to explain? Obeying God is simple. The desire of God actually is that he wants to supply the strength by himself. That's what I'm trying to say in all of these things. God, listen. Let me just say something quickly. If God commands concerning something and it's very difficult to do, rejoice. If God you find something in the scriptures. I like the story I read once about Corrie Ten Boom. Terry Comboon. Is that funny? It's Corrie Ten Boom. The story about her was that she was a Jewish girl in a concentration camp during the Second World War. And after the war ended, she was a preacher, used to go around preaching forgiveness. You know, it's easy to preach forgiveness when you have not been seriously offended. Well, everybody listened to her because she had been seriously offended. She was in the concentration camp. I was telling everybody, forgive, forget, forgive. God is... Then one day she finished preaching and a man came up to her to thank her for that powerful message. And she recognized the man. Now, if I'm not mixing my stories, all right? Apparently, the man was one of the guards that beat her sister to death. He didn't know her. Just saw one woman who was preaching. Of course, all of them were like skeletons by the time they were through with them. So now she must have gained some weight. He couldn't recognize anybody. Oh, that your message was speaking in German, I assume, was such a powerful, you know, speaking German. And the woman was looking at him. And he brought out his hand to shake her hand. No, think about it. Do you think she can shake his hand? That was not possible. So she told the Lord simply, this is not possible. That is the idea. Listen to the grace of God. No. And as the man was talking, when she recognized him, he said, no, this is a bad one. This is, I'm adding my own words now. This is serious temptation. Everything you have preached, so yeah, practice it. So she just told the Lord simply, you know, I can't do this. I can't shake his hand. I'm so sorry. But Lord, you have to do something. That was it. The next thing he knew that her hand went up by itself. Are you getting what I'm saying? And shook that, not how the hand. No, and it's in the scriptures. Ezekiel said, when he said to me, son of man, stand to your feet that I may speak to you. He said, the spirit entered into me and set my hand shaking my enemy. You are getting what I'm explaining? It was the spirit of God that entered into her. And listen, that is what God wants to do. So he gives a commandment. Sometimes, you know, this sexual revolution thing and all this homosexuality that Barack Obama is now the champion of, you understand? You know, when you hear them talk, you know that they don't understand the grace of God. God says, do something. They say, it is not possible. They start giving you scientific reasons why it's not possible. No, when God says, do something, the willingness to obey connects with the power to do. You hear what I said? You hear what I said? The willingness to obey connects you with the power to do. God doesn't command you concerning what you can do. Let me drop it again, you know. Very soon I'll be a marriage specialist. I know the bishop likes that very much. You know, I have been married for a long time now, relative to people like Bishop and Emeka here, you know. Relative to them, I'm very old in marriage, all right? Almost 14 years. I don't try. But before then, I was teaching on marriage. I wrote my first article on how to find a wife about 6 years before I found one. And it was interesting. I was reading like, who wrote this? Banky, what does he know? Actually, when I wrote the article, the first thing I said in it, I said, many of you want to read this. Who are reading this will wonder what qualified me. I quickly referred to a scripture. I said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I said, better obey the word of God. I wrote that article like 6 years before I got married. The Lord is good. Now, I'm bringing out something here. So let me just, I just want to explain something. Talking about the power. Listen, in this modern age, where women will go to school, get a BSc, a BA, LLB, MBBS, whatever degree. Some of them will go back, add MSc to it. Some will now take a PhD, put on top of it. Some are chartered accountants, chartered surveyors, chartered, give me something, what's that, the charter? Chartered engineers, chartered secretaries, chartered, just chartered. The whole world is chartered. Then the woman will now marry, and you now say to her, submit thyself to thy own husband. Wait, it's okay if my husband is my lecturer. Are you getting my point? No, it's very okay. Even when I was in school, he was the one giving the lectures. He had a PhD, and I was a student. I can easily submit. But let's get it. He was not my lecturer. He's my friend. In fact, we're classmates. He failed a few courses that I passed. They now say, submit yourself to that fellow. Listen, having observed life, my life, other people's lives, the word of God, and things around, I came to the conclusion. Go and tell the Americans and the Europeans who are trying to legalize gay marriage that marriage is not an accident. Somebody very smart created it. And no, really, because that thing can never walk outside the order of God. What am I going to bring out from there to illustrate? When he said, submit yourself to your own husband, believe me, he expects you to look up and say, give me the grace to do it. And he actually has the grace ready for everybody who will say, yes, amen. Be it unto me according to thy word. But you know what most people do? You don't understand. You don't know what you're talking about. You didn't marry my husband. Is it for you like this now? Because your husband is like this. If you married my husband, you will understand. He never thinks about anything until the last moment. I am the one that does all the thinking. Better tell my husband to submit himself unto his own wife, because... And let me tell you something. If you want to counsel people, don't be angry with that woman. What she's telling you is, oh God, is real to her. She will tell you, look, 2 years ago, we're supposed to go for so-and-so thing. I told him 3 weeks before, I reminded him, that fuel may be scarce. NNPC is giving warning strike. You know? Let him buy fuel now. He said, I shouldn't worry. He said, I shouldn't worry. The day before, he went out, spent all night to look for fuel. Came back in the house 4 a.m. in the morning. We did not get fuel. That's how we did not go. If it was 3 years ago, I would say, thank God he has changed. Last week. Listen, that's her reaction. Oh, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Don't come and preach one, you wicked woman. You don't, no. You have to show a lot of compassion. What I'm going to say, it's hard. Look, the thing is real. It's like fire is burning. You say the word of God says, walk through that fire. So the Bible not say, a wise man sees danger ahead and hides himself. You are telling, no, really. But the fact is this, if the woman would have just simply said, amen, because it is the word of God. God will infuse the humility, the ability to submit into her soul. And suddenly that same, oh God, you must understand that this marriage is interesting. You don't only control what's happening to you, you are affecting to a very great degree what's happening to that person. By her attitude, she will infuse the spirit of wisdom into that man. Not because she's come, okay, now, you know what some people do? Okay, they say I should submit to. So please start doing what you're supposed to do to make it easy for me. I'm not remembering the issue of grace. How you tap into grace with God is to say amen. If he says, all of you, you shall walk through this road. And you look at the road, fire is burning. You don't call his attention and say, Lord, can't you see there's fire there? That's called doubt and disobedience. If he says, all of you, you shall walk through this road, you know what you say? Amen. One or two things will happen. Sometimes when you finish saying that amen, the very blast of amen pours water on the road, fire dies, the place becomes cool, and you walk across. Sometimes you finish saying amen, suddenly all of you are ensheathed in something supernatural, so that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. For the, do you get my point? But that amen is critical to tap into grace. What I'm saying all of this is grace. Grace is when God gives a commandment. He gives you the power to obey it. That's what grace is. And I want people to understand it. In life, what happens is that when you listen to those who don't understand faith, you want to explain to them how God says we should live. And listen, you are not real. They can't understand what you are saying. It does not make sense. And the reason why they can't see it is because they have not understood the path that is called grace. I told you before, I used to wonder, you know, like they said, this is our country now. You don't realize how good it is because you are comparing to some place that are physically better. But it's a very comfortable place. Now, if they tell you to leave where you are and go to a deep jungle, it's not an easy thing. Now, they're not telling the stories of people like David Livingstone that left the comfort of their homes and came to preach in Africa. The day he arrived, the lion attacked him, almost ripped one arm from the elbow, and that arm was paralyzed the rest of his life. He didn't go back. And this man used to travel for months to get to their mission venue. No, if you are going for mission in Europe now, you call us from airport. Guys, we're about to board. Okay, have a safe flight. Then we'll get a text from you. 8 hours later, we have arrived. 8 hours later. Those days, one, the journey was 2 months. then the letter you will get that they arrived goes by the boat that takes 2 months to get back. If it's a place like US, 3 months. So if your husband left for mission in Africa, you won't know whether he's dead or alive for the next 6 months. I don't know whether you get my point. You won't know. Because it takes him 3 months to get there, then write you a letter and send back. You get it 3 months after. 6 months later is when you will finally get news from them. So, I mean, I used to imagine it that Aisha could have saved God that season. And I'd be thanking God, Lord, thank you very much for sparing me that season of serving you. This one is good. Now, if we travel, but in fact, thank God for WhatsApp, wherever you are chatting away with your spouse. Now, but I now realized something a few years ago. As much as we are thankful to God for everything, some of those men were not more dedicated than you today. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Forget the fact that we are singing their praises as if they were one kind of supernatural being that came from Mars. The fact that many of them were not more dedicated than you. The difference is a kind of grace that God poured upon them, which you don't need now. So the absence of that grace in your life makes you wonder how men then coped with it. God hasn't given me the grace to travel away from my wife. 3 months later, she hasn't heard from me. I've not heard from her. I don't have that grace. If you travel within 24 hours, I must know where you are. Is your phone not working? What happened to your phone? So the grace that those men had, you don't have it today simply because the need is not there. I said to us some time ago, I said, don't think the stories of the Bible were written so that you will be looking at people with envy as if only I could do that or that those men were great men. No. They were written to let you know ordinary people with the power of God working in them can do great things. So I'm saying to you, if they drag you looking at me this evening, if they drag you before the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, you too won't bow. I'm not joking about it. You will not bow. It's not a joke. You look at Daniel, ha, my great man of faith. Hey. If not me, I will just bow. I will be standing on my inside, though, but on the outside, I will not bow. Tell you the truth, you won't bow too. You still will not bow. Why? Because Daniel didn't stand. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel didn't still do what he did that took by the lion's den now. And the other guys, not because they were strong. It's simply because the grace was poured upon them. And I'm saying to you also, you, if need be, if you have real dedication for God, when that time comes, he will pour grace on you also. We admire Daniel. We admire Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We admire all of them. But we are saying that we recognize that it was not them. It was the grace of God working in them. And that same grace is available till today. It's available for you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And it's available for me.
Amen.
It is available. What am I going to emphasize? The fact that God does not expect us to walk above sin, walk in obedience to his word, his precepts by our own strength. No, he doesn't expect it. He does not expect it. He does not expect it. The man, the woman who fails are those people that decide to use their own power and not learn the method of tapping into God's power. Let me get back to what I'm trying to explain. Prayer and personal purification we're talking about. I'm emphasizing that one of the things, let me quickly say it this way. Did I say we should open somewhere? Have we read it? Yes, we read it. You see what he said there? Take heed. Be careful. That is, if you take heed to yourselves, it was saying there. Please, let me quickly say it before we refer to it. I said something last time, let me say it again. I realized that these days people use prayers for things that prayer wasn't meant for. And that's why I said last time there's an epidemic of prayer. People emphasize so much on praying against things. In fact, do you know, we pray more than is commanded in scriptures concerning our needs. Let me say this. I pray to be very clear. God doesn't expect to hear anything about your problems more than once. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you heard me say amen.
Amen.
Oh God, you know I need money. He expects to hear that how many times? How many times?
Once.
How many times?
Once.
In fact, he will prefer if he never heard about it from your mouth. So two levels of faith are accepted. One, you say it, but once. Anything beyond that is not accepted. Another level of faith is that you don't even remember to say anything about it. Because he said, seek first the kingdom of God. That is, prayers must be focused on seeking the kingdom of God. And all other things will be added. So if something is a burden on my soul, all right? So I cast that burden upon the Lord. It comes as a burden to my soul. So I throw it on him once. What if the thing comes back to mind again? That's what I'm trying to explain. The prayer is actually more on purifying myself from worry than reminding God about it. He hasn't done that, you know. I don't know what you're hearing what I say. He said, but the thing keeps coming back to mind. Then the next prayers must be on ensuring I don't worry about it. So that's why prayers like that go as a form of thanksgiving of the fact, Lord, I thank you, because that is not a problem. I refuse to think about it. I refuse to think about it. It has been solved in the name of Jesus. I have cast my burden upon the Lord. It's not like, God, I bet let's talk. No, yesterday I said that. Did I say not here that time? May I come just quick? Let's go by it again. I was explaining to you that Wahala day. And this is the exact amount that is needed. Did you hear when I said it last time? Then the following day, we have come again. 21 days. That was what it took Daniel to get that answer. Are you getting my point? So we shall pray on this matter for 21 days. I'm saying to you this evening, this is a teaching for this evening, that if any prayer is said again about that matter, it should be a prayer that purifies you from worry. Because in Daniel's case, we know the very first day he was heard. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. The very first day he was heard. God does not expect us, all right, to now sit down on our problems and it becomes the prayer topic every day. I'm talking about how people misuse it. That's one thing you see Christians gather and pray about their needs day in, day out. They are not using their prayers to purify. Now, listen, that's very important. That's my talking, what I'm talking about this series. They are not purifying their walk with God by that prayer, and that is the main thing they should have been praying about. Please follow me. That is, another way people, let me quickly add this one also. I mentioned last time. Another way people in today's Christianity waste prayer time and prayer resources is that they focus on enemies that are not there. And even if the enemies were there, they are not supposed to be focused on. If you see what I'm trying to say, most of those prayers are focused on things there, other people, my problems. Instead of any prayer that has to do with them personally, that is, instead of praying about my needs, my problems, I should be praying about my heart. And that's what I'm trying to bring out. How do I keep myself walking in a manner that is pleasing to God all the time? Because the Bible says there is no want for those who fear God. So part of the way by which you keep yourself in the fear of God is through prayer. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. That prayer is used to tap into that grace. Let's go back here. Luke chapter 21. I was saying that God, anything he says we should do in life, he wants to pour the grace into us to do it. And he said in verse 34, be on guard or take heed to yourselves, that your hearts may not be weighted down. That's verse 34, now chapter 21, Luke. With dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. What I'm going to explain here, that is, the praying is the way by which a man, a woman keeps alert. I said something last time, that this world can be tempting. All right? People oftentimes, they don't realize, all right, that temptations in life is not just about temptation to what I call sin. Are you getting my point? It's not just temptation to sin. In that sense, moral, commit a sin. But a lot of temptations in life are temptations that dampen, that's a good word, they dampen your spiritual sensitivity. They dampen your determination. And they are real temptations. I said something last time that I was in a meeting in my CMD's office, and he said something that struck a serious chord in me. Before that, I didn't really think about it like that, but after he said it, the thing has been with me. I have not forgotten. He said that it was encouraging everybody, because we're heads of departments gathered in the meeting and some consultants with external people that came to accredit our departments. They were talking about the problems that the departments have that should be corrected. And the CMD was pointing out that a lot of us sitting down there, we had the powers to correct them. And it was right. Many of us did not realize how much we had. And the meeting was good. In fact, one of the other heads of department said that this is the best meeting he's ever had in that hospital. All right? Now, so he did not realize the amount of powers he had. Are you getting my point? But there was another problem people like me had, even though I knew I had those powers, is that of being discouraged after a while. There was something I wanted to do as at this month. I've been on it for over 18 months. I went back to square one just a few weeks ago. So my CMD said something. He said that a lot of people, that was what really struck something with me, that they meet a lot of resistance, they get tired, and they give up. As I'm going to explain, he said, please, don't give up. Just keep trying. And in my department since then, we've made a lot of advances. And when people complain, maybe it's like, chief, we need to do this. I say to them, how do you eat an elephant? Those who have heard me answer, they say, one bite at a time. That what we have to eat here is an elephant. Let's be making advances every day. Let's take one bite at a time. And that came to my mind because my CMD said, please, don't give up. What's the lesson I'm bringing from there? One of the temptations of life, do you understand, is that you get discouraged and you give up in doing that which is good. Listen, life can be tempting. The temptations are not only just to sin, the way we look at sin, all right? But they can also be to dampen our spiritual sensitivity. Let me give an example. If you see what's going on in the U.S. right now, all this gay thing and all the homosexuality and all of that, one of the things that's happening is that what that happened and is happening is that over a long period, a lot of Christians have been worn out. When I say worn out, I'm like, Satan wears them out. You lose today. After a while, you give up entirely. And that's precisely what Satan wants. He wants people to give up. What he's trying to do is to paint to all the young people there that there's nothing wrong with being a homosexual. So after a while, even in churches, they start toning down their messages. All right? What's happening is the temptations of life, people are beginning to give up. And that's precisely what Satan wants. And that's what happens in our lives also a lot of times. We give up. But the message I'm bringing out this evening is simple. That the strength not to give up is not by determination. I shall not give up. No. Jesus was telling these people. Because what happens is that all the cares of the world, he said, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, so that day comes on you suddenly like a trap. That is, the people are no longer spiritually sensitive. So he said, what is the medicine that will prevent that? He said, keep on the alert, praying in order that you may have strength. Now, please, I'm back to the main thing I'm trying to explain. Anytime it appears like you should give up, he said, the strength not to give up comes from where? Somebody asked me a few days ago, said, sir, I don't know how to pray. I replied him, I said, say it anyway, anyhow, anytime, in the name of Jesus. I said, that's all. Said that this is not now I want to pray. Father, you have said in thy word that thy word cannot fail. Thy word said we shall not give up. And the giving up is about to come upon us now. So we tabernacle in thy presence trying to overcome. No. He's like, God, help me. I don't tire. But I'm not supposed to tire. I don't know whether I get my point. I say that in Pidgin to emphasize that God speaks any language. You can kneel down. You can stand up. You can lie down. And guess what? You can even stand upside down. Whichever way. You know, there are times you are so tired. Your head is on the floor. Your torso is hanging inclined. Your feet are on the bed. You know, that kind of thing. even in that position, he hears. And you say to him simply, Lord, I am tired. This is the fourth time. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Please listen to this. This is the fourth time I have applied to this tax office. Let's take as an example. To get me my documents. This is the fourth time I have applied for this particular job, which I know is mine. I can do it. Now remember, God doesn't want to hear anything about your problems more than once. Can you remember that? How many times?
Once.
So you have talked about it before. But what are you praying about now? You're about to get discouraged. You're about to get tired. So you, from there, say, Lord, I don't want to get tired. Give me the strength not to get tired. Listen, there are times they've told you, maybe you've heard teaching, people talk about generational curses, witches, wizards. Then you hear the word of God that says that is not your portion, except that there's one problem that has not gone away. And that was what the generational people were using to harass you. That's a generational problem. Listen, experiences can never prove them right. Only the word of God decides what is right and what is wrong. Are you getting my point? But there are times, that's what I'm saying, the flesh is tempted to say, maybe I need the deliverance. Don't go and hide. Close the doors. Let me go and do it in secret. No. It is to lie down there and simply say, Lord, this is the truth I have heard. From the scriptures, I believe it. I will listen to the Corey Blake today. Just, in fact, if you heard him say some things, you think that maybe me, he and I discussed. I thought it was only Nigeria that had this ancestral curse problem. I didn't know Americans still had it. If you see him coming against the thing seriously, that what are you talking about ancestors? Your ancestry can only be traced back one step to Jesus Christ. So you've heard things like that. Say, Lord, this is what I have heard and have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. All things have passed away. But because of the issues I've had, my heart wants to. Therefore, I am praying right. Are you getting my point? Jesus came to a man and said, if you can believe, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a valid prayer point. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I am saying to you that instead of spending all the time, all the witches that said, I will not prosper, the Holy Ghost fire, it's a waste of time. If you are tempted to think somebody is saying that you shouldn't prosper, you lie down there and say, Lord, I have heard the word of God, and it has said to me that if God blesses me, nobody can stop me from being blessed. All this preaching I'm hearing, all these temptations are trying to prove to me that one witch somewhere is saying I shouldn't prosper, but I refuse to believe it. My heart is being drawn there, but Lord, give me the strength never to deny the truth that I know. That's what prayer is about. I hope you're getting my point. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, people get discouraged. You have said so, you've declared something, you get there, you are not seeing the result you thought you would have. It is not time to change your mind. What Satan is trying to do, listen to me, is to wear you out. And I'm saying to us again that God did not leave us without help. As I'm talking about prayer and personal purification, people spend all the time on enemies. No. You should spend most of the time praying about yourself. And when I say pray about yourself, I don't mean praying about your problem. Your heart's response to matters. I discussed something in here some time ago. Let me quickly. I talked about praying yourself out of a bad habit. Praying your way out of a bad habit. How did I title it? Something like that. It's one of our prayer collections. Look for it and listen to it. Listen. Over the weekend when I was not around, the last day I spoke on the habits of greatness, because I was talking about the path of life, all right? Understanding true greatness. So the last day I spoke on what I call the habits of greatness. Now, I want to bring up something that I think we have discussed before, right? That life, what you are, is a product of your habits, your ways, things you do every day. The way I illustrated is that people talk about weight. You can't just get up one day, lose weight in 1 week. The weight you gained in 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Or lose it in 3 weeks. It doesn't work. So I tell people, say, how do I control my weight? I say, simple. Just change your habit. Look for something, all right? In your habit, you can just change. That's all. Maybe you have a car. Everywhere you drive, tell yourself anything that's not, anything that's not more than 200 meters, henceforth, I trek. It's a new habit. When they give me food, normally they lace it with those giant sizes of beef. Four. Say, I'm not growing again. I'm an adult.